الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا كتاب بعد كتابه ولا شريعة بعد شريعته ولا أمة بعد أمته أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected honorable ulama kiram, hufaz of the Quran, brothers and elders, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The reason why we are gathering, assembling this evening is it is just another excuse for us to earn rewards from the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another reason for us to sit and learn some aspect of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When exactly did Laylatul Mi'raj take place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Wallahu alam bis sawab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the exact night. There are many narrations, but famously known amongst us, one of those nights is the night that we generally would speak about, and that is the 27th night of Rajab. That's one of the possibilities. But regarding the journey, many a bayan has taken place in this masjid on the 27th night of Rajab, speaking in detail on the exact miraculous journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a portion of the night. And the difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to undergo in preparation for this miraculous journey. Shaqq al-sadr, the splitting of the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had taken place four times in the blessed life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one amongst those four was prior to the Mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the house of Hani, his cousin, in Makkatul Mukarrama. And till today, if a person has to go and walk in the old Turkish section, which obviously they have moved, but there are subtle signs that indicate the house of Hani. And behind the Hatim, there are also few pillars. Again, subtle signs to indicate that the Buraq was tied in that area or in that vicinity of those four pillars. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the house of Hani, and the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was opened, was infused with nur and with barakah and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was preparing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this miraculous journey. So in human form, he's able to undertake the journey without any difficulty. For man to ascend heights, we know if any person has to go mountain climbing, then there are certain altitudes they take you, they stop. You need to climatize, you need to know how's your breathing, everything is okay. If a person has to do mountain climbing of great heights too quick, then that can lead to his death because of the thinning of oxygen and the difficulty of breathing. Here Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, forget about the heights of the mountain. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the split moments of the night, is taken into the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the seven heavens and beyond, to a point that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam stops and say, invitation is reserved only for you, O Habib sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But Nabi sallam went through all of that difficulty. We know a person goes for an operation, a heart surgery, whatever it may be. Even if it's just to do a checkup, he comes back and the person is tired, you're exhausted. Yeah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam underwent all of that difficulty to receive this great gift of salah, which is a medium for us to gain from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to really, on the night of 27th of Rajab, and every day of our lives, every day we have to perform salah, then that is a moment for us to recite salat and durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That imagine the difficulties Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had endured to receive this gift of salah, so we can enjoy our salah. So we will recite durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We make dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we increase our love, develop that, enhance that love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase all of our love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on this miraculous journey, and the gift that is given is the gift of salah. So it's a very limited program that we are having due to the time. But in this few moments, the journey itself, you will find recordings on the masjid website. CDs are available. Hazrat Maulana Chauhan Sahib has spoken in detail also regarding the journey itself. We want to take the discussion a little bit different. That one is talking about the miraculous journey, alhamdulillah. But the salah itself, the gift, it's something that we need to understand the merit, the reward, the ajr, the thawab for every action that even leads to the salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, now these are some important points for every one of us. That when we coming for salah, what is the salah? Person came to Mufti Mahmud al-Hasan Gangohi rahimahullah. He was known as the Grand Mufti. So he is complaining to Mufti Sahib. He says, Mufti Sahib, you know, I just cannot concentrate in my salah. So is there anything I can do? What are the steps in building concentration in my salah? So Mufti Sahib asked him one question. When does the salah begin? So he says, when the imam says, Allahu Akbar, then the salah begins. He says, no. Your salah begins from the time you're preparing for salah, and that is at the time of wudu. When you make in wudu, are you conscious of the fact that you are preparing yourself for salah? Or is it just some autopilot and you're washing yourself and you're coming and say, salah starts now? So Mufti Sahib said, if you can build your concentration in your wudu, to say, what am I doing? Why am I doing? What's the reward? By the time you come for salah, you will be prepared already for the salah. Then that builds on your levels of concentration for the salah. So the preparation of salah is from the time we make in wudu. The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, مَن تَطَهَرَ فِي بَيْتِهِ ثُمَّ مَضَى إِلَى بَيْتٍ مِّن بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ لِيَقْضِيَ فَرِيضَةً مِّن فَرَائِدِ اللَّهِ. Person who performs his wudu in his house. This is the sunnah. We come into the masjid. This is the facility for salah. The wudu facilities we have is an emergency. Perhaps a person came and he was passing by in the area and it was salah time. He doesn't have the luxury of time to go home to make wudu. Or perhaps he's coming from his office and there isn't wudu facilities, or from work. But this sunnah we should try and inculcate it within ourselves, that we perform wudu at home and then we come. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if a person has to perform his wudu in the house, every step he takes, one sin is written off, obliterated, erased. One daraja in akhirah is raised for him and increased for him in akhirah. That's for every step a person takes. So ulama explain and say, due to the distances that we stay around the masjid, now we can say every motion of that wheel, of the tire, coming to the masjid, there will be reward for us. Every time the wheel is turning, we will be getting reward. But again, if a person comes early, and he can take more steps to the masjid, he will be more rewarded in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So making wudu at home, every step you are getting reward. Every step a person takes in walking and coming to the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, alhamdulillah, we all perform wudu, we all make wudu, and we come to the masjid. But this one simple sunnah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He says, Ya Abu Huraira, إِذَا تَبَضَّعْتَ فَقُلْ Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Fa inna hafazataka la tabrahu taktubu laka alhasanat hatta tuhditha min dhalika alwudu. Aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That O Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, before you perform wudu, recite a simple dua. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. The angels of protection will continue writing rewards for you until your wudu breaks. Which means if a person made wudu for the Maghrib Salah and he read Bismillahi walhamdulillah, the angels are continuously marking and rewarding and writing rewards for us until we have our wudu and our wudu does not break. Once it breaks, then they stop. Then they lift their pens. A simple amal. Bismillahi walhamdulillah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, and he says that after the wudu, the person who recites, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. That's different. Wahdahu la sharika la. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin, waj'alni min al-mutatahhirin. Futihat lahu abwabul jannati thamaniya. Yadukhulu min ayyiha sha'a. The 8 doors of Jannah are flung open for a person who recites this dua after the wudu. Simple dua, 8 doors of Jannah are flung open. Ulama explain and say, what's the meaning of 8 doors of Jannah being flung open for a person? It means that if his mouth has to come in this condition, then he is on the road to Jannah. And if his mouth is not written, then if the doors of Jannah are open, it means the doors of rizq, sustenance, ease in this dunya are already open for him. If the doors of Jannah are open, how can the doors of this world be closed upon him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the roads of ease for such a person. In Banu Israel, so that is regarding wudu, simple du'as that we can recite, perform the wudu at home, and then come to the masjid. In Banu Israel, there was a person. There was difficulties because of which he didn't have food and money in the house. So his wife had asked him that, listen, we don't have any food. Can you please go out in search of work and bring something back home? So he goes out into the marketplace. All the laborers are in an area. And everyone gets a job, secures some job, get some pay, and they go home. This particular individual doesn't get any job, so he goes to the seaside, performs ablution and wudu, performs salah, and then he says, oh my Allah, I want to stay in employment to you and work for you, I'll perform salah. The promise is you will sustain me. And he performs salah. For the duration of the day, he goes home. When everyone returns home, he also returns home. Wife asked him, did you work today? He says, yes, I worked. And I worked for a very noble work I did today. The reward is promised. I'm waiting for the reward. So she never understood. Very vague he spoke. And he said, perhaps I'll get paid in a day or two. So he went home. The children are crying. There is still no food. Second day, she's urging him and saying, you have to go work. You haven't brought any pay. Go work again today. So he goes out. And the same thing happens. And the second day, he performs salah. He comes home. And she asks him, but where's the pay now? So he says that, listen, my laborer has promised me he's going to pay me. When he's going to pay me, I don't know. But he promised. He seriously promised me. Things are difficult at the moment. Let's wait for the pay. So she wasn't happy about this entire arrangement of his. But the third day he went out. And on the third night, he felt ashamed. He said, how can I go home? The children are crying. There's no food. It's difficult days. How can I go home? So he was moving around in town, walking, loitering, just trying to avoid going home. So he said, let me just pass home and see how's everything at home. And as he's passing the house, he can hear there's happiness, there's laughter, and he can get a smell of some very delicious food from the house. So he was amazed. You know, he goes into the house, and then his wife is telling him that, you know, the days that you worked, Your laborer had, he sent a worker, he sent some food, some golden coins, and he said, please continue with your work, he'll continue sustaining you. So she was so happy about the work, only after they enjoyed the meals. Then she tapped on him again to say, but what work are you doing? We've got paid so handsomely. He said, oh my wife, I was working for Allah, I was performing salah. And Allah sent someone and this is the reward that we got. And that's the yaqeen we need to have. The discussion of salah, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises rizq and sustenance for a person who is particular about his salah. That person who has that courage to close the shop for salah. Close the shop. If you have to be in the shop, you close it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that customer who perhaps maybe, you know, you were in masjid, he'll come and he'll still buy from you. And if you miss him, you'll get more reward and a greater customer at a later time. And if you have to keep it open for whatever reason, then we go to the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will sustain us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care. One youngster, meaning he's about 28 years old, in Johannesburg, we met him for some programs, we were going. So he was taking us from area to area for the bayans. So he said, Mufti Sahab, let me tell you some of my Kalguzari. So I qualified from university and I got my job and for 2 years I had to give my time in a certain company. I gave my time. After that I had an interview. So when I went for this interview, the interview said 12:30. And I said to myself, 12:30. It's a little bit of a tight time. What happens to my salah? But I said, inshallah, this is it's a no ordinary company. Perhaps the interview would be on time. So 12:30, I went for the interview. As we go, and I'm looking around, and I can see that in this waiting area, we have 5 people waiting for the interview for one job. 5 people waiting for the interview for one job. So I got speaking, I saw that the other youngster was a Muslim also. I got talking to him, Assalamu alaikum, how are you? So he says, no, I'm also here for the interview. You? Now that little bit was competition now. You know, we're here for the same interview. Spoke to the other guys, everyone's talking in the waiting area. Yeah, we're all here for the interview. So they got chatting a little. And as the clock went to 1, he says there was some delay in that interview in the process. As it struck 1, immediately he left. He left a note with the receptionist to say, when they start the process, please ask them to excuse me. I would be a little late, but I would be back for the interview. Ask them to please forgive me for this. And he went for salah. He came back and the process was, they were busy in the interview and he walks in. So he thought, hey, perhaps I'm going to miss this interview. I won't get this job. I'm supposed to be on time. I need to be, to show I'm dutiful, etc. And to show I'm, you know, it's an important interview. So the entire thing finished. And he waited. As everyone was leaving, then the person was doing the interview. So he said, excuse me, sir, you know, please, sorry, man, you know, I came late for the interview. So he says, oh, okay, well, what happened? So he says, no, I was here on time. It was time for prayers. I left for prayers because, listen, the last prayer that I would get is at quarter past 1. I had to leave, perform my prayers, and I came back for the interview. So the person takes his file, looks at it, asks him a few questions. He says, the job is for you. So he says, wait, hold on. Are you a Muslim? So he says, no, I'm not Muslim. So he said, but why do you secure the job for me? So he says, if you can be dutiful to your Almighty, you will be dutiful to your time in this work. I give it to you. Sometimes we're scared. We feel, if I have to give time for my deen, if I have to practice sunnah, if I have to go for salah, I may lose my job. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising us, in salah I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to look after you better. I'm going to increase your sustenance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that, you know, that we have that love for our salah, inshaAllah. Another important sunnah of salah is that we use a miswak when making wudu. And if a person has got strong teeth, strong gums, then yes, we just make miswak of the teeth only before the salah. For us Hanafis, it's preferred not to use the miswak before the salah. For us, it's preferred not to, meaning we use it wudu time. But if a person is walking to the masjid, and there is no fear of blood coming out, that we quickly make miswak of the teeth only, not the gums, and not the tongue, which generally we can do during our wudu. Person quickly makes miswak. Great reward. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, had it not been for the fear of difficulty on my ummah, I would have commanded them to make miswak for every wudu, for every salah. Some narrations for every wudu, some narrations for every salah. So highly encouraged, sunnah is the miswak. And one of the greatest benefits of miswak, one of the greatest benefits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a person the tawfiq to recite the kalima at the time of death. Now that is the benefit of miswak. So let's make sure we always have a miswak with us. Whenever possible, we are using a miswak. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam always desire that a fresh and good fragrance comes out from the mouth. So we always have a miswak, we always use miswak, especially for wudu. And another important thing is Bilal radiallahu anhu, after making wudu, to try, if the time permits, to perform 2 rakats of salah. So a person made wudu at home, perform 2 rakats of salah, nafal at home, and then come. And if you have time in the masjid, 2 rakats nafal, and then the sunnah of the salah, if possible. One day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had mentioned to Bilal radiallahu anhu, "Oh Bilal, I hear your footsteps ahead of me in Jannah. I hear your footsteps." So Bilal radiallahu anhu asked as to what was this reason for him being ahead. So he says, "Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the only thing I can attribute this to is, perhaps the only different thing I'm doing from the rest is every time I make wudu, ma amiltu amalan arja indi. Anni lam atatahhar fi sa'ati laylin aw nahar. Whenever I make wudu, I will perform salah with that wudu before any amal. I make sure, which we call tahiyyatul wudu. So whenever possible to perform tahiyyatul wudu, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling Bilal radiallahu anhu, I heard your footsteps ahead of me. Because of this 2 rakats or 4 rakats, whatever was possible for Bilal radiallahu anhu, to perform tahiyyatul wudu after the wudu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that tawfiq. The other is the etiquette of the masjid. The etiquette of the masjid, just as we meet a Muslim brother, then as the etiquette of a Muslim brother, we say, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, which we call tahiyya. You meet someone, you greet him, we call that tahiyya. وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا. So that's salam, which is called tahiyya in Arabic. So what is the etiquette of the masjid? The etiquette of the masjid is that the east time, we perform 2 rakats of tahiyyatul masjid. And if the isn't time, then we are reading, perhaps maybe there's only 7 minutes left. And in the 7 minutes, you only can perform the 4 rakats of the sunnah. So if a person performs the 4 rakats of sunnah before sitting, inshallah, with making the intention of tahiyyatul masjid, he will get the reward. But the important thing is to incorporate that intention. To say, oh my Allah, I'm reading my sunnah. There isn't luxury of time. Tahiyyatul wudu and tahiyyatul masjid also. Then inshallah, we hope we will get the reward of tahiyyatul wudu and tahiyyatul masjid. So, with regards to salah and the mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find one very important point that we should not lose focus of, is that the mi'raj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken place from Masjid al-Aqsa. Many masajid in the world, Masjid al-Aqsa was selected. So on this night, or on every night, if there is a place we should not forget, is Masjid al-Aqsa in our du'as. Make special dua for the protection and the preservation of Masjid al-Aqsa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant each one of us the tawfiq to even perform salah in Masjid al-Aqsa. Whenever possible, Allah must take us again and again. Preserve it for the people of the area. Grant them the tawfiq to even enter and perform salah. At the moment, things are very difficult, volatile. Even for those people who are living in the old city. One brother who has been there recently, he said, Mawlana, now when we walk in the old city and we are going to the masjid, Every Muslim person is sad. He's absolutely sad. One brother was saying that some of them are just giving things out for free. And one of them was asked, like, why do you give it for free? He says, see, they're going to stop us. They won't allow us to enter the masjid. At least I can give it to someone who will use it for energy to enter the masjid. We can't go. At least you can go. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, inshallah. We make dua for Masjid al-Aqsa. Make dua for Palestine. Make dua for the people of Gaza. Things haven't ended. Perhaps we're not speaking about it, as we say. We're a little bit mum about the whole thing. But we shouldn't become numb about the situation that is happening and unfolding in Palestine in general, Gaza in particular. Make a lot of dua for the Ummah of Muhammad Sallam. Yes, for the Muslims around the world, but in particular due to the focal point of Masjid al-Aqsa. And few important points. Generally in bayans, we don't discuss masail. But these are important points. It's a reason for us to gather on the note of salah. That is why, just a few important points with regards to salah. Alhamdulillah, we are here for the bayan, we come to the masjid, we're performing salah. But the salah that we ought to be performing is the salah that is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shown to us, demonstrated by none other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One day when sahabi comes into the masjid, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, irji fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Please, can you go back and perform your salah? You haven't performed salah. He performs salah, he comes back. Nabi Sam said, you haven't performed salah. The sahabi says, I actually performed 2 rakat salah. The only thing he was doing wrong is that when he went into ruku, and the standing posture between after the ruku and going into sajda was too brief. It was not sufficient a time for it to be valid. Which means, after the ruku, a person should stand where the baldy comes to a halt, all limbs into its position. Then we go into sajda. If in one position or one posture, or rather one motion, a person stands and goes into sajda, then that qawma has not been completed. That hasn't been completed. And even the jalsa between the two sajdas, person makes a sajda, person should sit. Then there's a dua to be recited. Allahumma filli warhamni wa'afini wahdini warzuqni. The entire salah, you're not allowed to make dua for dunya. This is the only posture. Nabi Sam taught us, make dua for your dunya. Warzuqni. Oh my Allah, bless me. You're not allowed to make dua for dunya. But this Nabi Sam teaches us, warzuqni, make this dua. So there's 5 duas, we can read it in the jalsa between the 2 sajdas. So we learn this. Sometimes, you know, we go Madina Munawwara. You know, you go Madina Munawwara and you're performing salah and you say, what these imams are reading like? You stand after the ruku and he's standing for so long. You know, between the 2 sajdas, he's sitting for so long and you're wondering, what they doing? Well, they are reading du'as. They are masnoon du'as that we ought to be reading. South Africa, we're a little bit different, right? We watch the clock by the second over the minute. Like, Maulana, you know, normally you finish this time. Yeah, there were 2 minutes extra. So we're a little bit cautious about that. We don't want anyone to find it difficult. So the masnoon du'as are recited, but not the lengthy ones. So the are du'as, we should recite these du'as. So that is between these 2 postures. Another important point is the starting of salah. If a person's lips does not move and he comes in salah, he hasn't commenced his salah. Salah hasn't commenced. You're going through the motion. The verbalizing of the takbir to say Allahu Akbar should be loud enough that you hear yourself. Allahu Akbar. You hear yourself. That is the bare minimum that is required. The bare minimum, you hear yourself. You don't have to hear yourself very loud. If a person has got hearing aids, just move the lips. We don't want the neighbor to take out your mistakes. So even moving the lips, at least that much, you know, you'll hear something. That is the bare minimum for salah to begin. And one last point is in the sajda, if the feet are above the ground for the duration of 3 subhanallah, the salah is null and void. So the toes have to touch the ground minimum. The toes facing qibla, that is sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Sahaba radiallahu, they used to go to each other, they would come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, teach us salah. Ya Rasul, how must I make salah? How do I perform salah? This is important. We notice our Ustad, Mullah Fadlur Rahman, Shaykh al-Hadith of the Madrasa, he very particular when he goes to different areas, then he has a practical demonstration of salah. Teaches the people practically how to perform salah. The first thing to be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah is salah. First thing is salah. This shows the importance of salah. It can never be overemphasized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq that we learn our salah, we go to some person we are comfortable with, whether the person is an alim, person is your ustad, some senior, or who, any person in society to say, see, I'm going to perform my salah, you watch me. Any mistakes, please take it out. Or we can even do it as siblings, as brothers, or as neighbors, or as friends also to say, whatever you know, you tell me. Whatever you know about the salah, just watch my salah. Sometimes, you know, the salah is autopilot. We performing it as we used to perform. We have to perform it as it ought to be performed. And taught to us by Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهل فصلي وسلم على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم كما أنت أهل وافعل بنا ما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة جزى الله عنا نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم لما هو أهله والله most loving, most caring, most beautiful Allah, most rahim, most kareem Allah, ya Allah grant us tawfiq that we perform our five times daily salah in the masjid. Oh may Allah grant us love for the masjid. Ya Allah perfect our salah. Oh may Allah grant us the true ilm and the knowledge of salah. Ya Allah grant us and our children, our progenies, our neighbors and our friends and the entire ummah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam love for salah and make us punctual on our salah. Ya Allah make us amongst those people who will perform our five times daily salah and all our different nawafil and sunan. Ummah, ya Allah grant us your love and the love of your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah the first thing to be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah is salah. Grant us the tawfiq that we show importance to our salah. Ya Allah we are weak, we are trying, we are failing. Ya Allah, we sometimes miss our salah. Ya Allah, you grant us that importance, O my Allah. You keep us on the straight path. Keep us in Sirati Mustaqim. Protect the Muslims around the world wherever they're in difficulties. Remove the difficulties and the sufferings. Ya Allah, those that are in need, those that are in distress, remove the difficulties. Ya Allah, especially the Muslims in Palestine, O my Allah, in Palestine, remove the difficulties. Protect Masjid al-Aqsa. Protect Haramain Sharifain, O my Allah. Ya Allah, keep us in good health from now to the month of Ramadan. Let us see the month of Ramadan with Iman, with good health. Ya Allah, with love for you and your Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, with fluency in the tilawat of Quran Sharif. Umma ya Allah, Rabbana tawaffana muslimin wa alhiqna bis salihin. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika.